Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Niall Boylan all week. Get in touch with the programme on 087 188 0008. Coming up later on, I've got a listener dilemma that is really, really juicy, I have to say. You're going to love this one. I'll read it out to you in a little while. And then I'll also be talking to the luckiest mum in the UK. Can't wait for that chat. Has won more than £30,000 by entering competitions in just 2 years, and was also featured on Come Dine With Me. So we're going to find out what goes on behind the scenes, you know. Looking forward to that chat. But first, this hour, I want to get to you on a subject that gets everybody talking. This one's religion. And the question is, are we losing our religion? The Association of Catholic Priests has warned that Catholicism will become a minority religion as the number of serving priests in Ireland halves over the next decade and hundreds of empty churches are forced to close. They've said there's a sense of despair amongst members of the clergy. And you hear about this all the time, don't you? Just anecdotally, especially in rural Ireland, one priest, three churches, that kind of thing. Limited, really limited in their resources. Funerals, weddings, running around all day because there's just not enough people being ordained, and they're really, really worried, and I can see why. But I want to find out what you think. Is it time that we break away from the Catholic Church in this country? Is it a thing of our past and not our future? Are you determined that the Church continues and takes up new ways of breathing new life into it? Some have suggested allowing the ordination of women and the abolition of strict celibacy rules. Last year, I think RT did a documentary, and it was fascinating to talk to priests about what they would... They spoke to priests on the documentary talking about what they would suggest, and a lot of them said celibacy is a big, big thing, and women as well, but whether the Vatican will play ball on that is an entirely different story. No matter what you think, it's an important one. And I want to hear from you tonight. Text or WhatsApp us and let us know what you think on 087 188 0008. Are we losing our religion? Not the REM song, but the genuine question. And I've got Eddie on the line, and you think our faith is being taken away from us.
Good evening, Gary. We were only talking about this. I had a really heated debate with an elder chap, an elder gentleman, on Saturday night in the pub, because he disagreed with me. And I was trying to explain it to him, because he's an older generation, he wouldn't have it. So I actually went home and I started looking into it. And then when I seen you were talking about it on Facebook tonight, I was like, oh, I'm actually ready to contribute something here because I've done a bit of homework. So you know the way we have
like
a census
that,
every
like
5 years.
That.
Yeah, so we have a census every 5 years, right? In 1961, we had a census and 94.9% of this country identified as Catholic, right? In the last census, in 2022, that figure had dropped by 69%. So in 61 years, that figure has dropped by 25.9%. And like the Catholic religion says, at the moment, there's currently 2,116 priests in this country. 15% are over 75. That's 299 priests who won't retire because there's no one coming up to replace them in the diocese. 25% are between 60 and 75. That's another 550. And last year, 21 seminarians joined the Maynooth College for Priests. 21. So do the figures. Nobody's going to, like you said there, nobody's darkening the door of the church anymore. We go for births, deaths, and marriages. That's it. We might go on Christmas Day. Everyone says they're a Catholic, but they're actual hypocrites because they don't actually practice the faith they're supposed to believe in. And little by little, it's been eroded. And like the Catholic Church said there, in 50 years' time, we'll be a minority.
And why do
you know?
Think that is, Eddie?
Because the more...
Eddie, what do you think is causing the eroding?
People are more... I would say, Gary, there's been a lot of scandals. Paedophile priests, Bishop Casey back in the 90s, Tuam, mother and babies. And people are voting with their feet to stay away. And also, people are a lot more educated. And I would class myself as that. So I would be born in the 70s. And I was raised as a Catholic, as, you know, most people were. You probably raised yourself. But then you get to a certain age, and you start questioning it all. And then when you see all the scandals, and I've kind of walked away from the church. I don't believe in it. Now I class myself as an atheist, you know?
Would
and
you
people
think-
say, yeah, but you were raised as a Catholic.
Would you
well,
think,
I didn't get
Eddie,
a choice in that.
Eddie,
you know?
What would you say to people who say that faith and religion are two sort of separate things? Like, you may not go to the church, but you may feel your Catholic faith personally and pray at home and...
Well, this is what I was saying to this chap. He was saying, I don't have to go to the church to practice my faith. And I said, so you're telling me you pray at home? And he goes, no. And I said, so where do you practice it? You know, I said, your religion is on its knees. Your church needs you and you don't go. Well, so what kind of follower are you? You know? And he didn't know what to say. He just started shouting at me, calling me all sorts of stuff. But that's the fact. That's the world we live in.
So you think we're
churches
sort of,
are closing?
Yeah, you think we kind of
because people aren't attending.
You think we want our cake and eat it? Is that we go around saying we're Catholics, but we don't go to the church and we don't take part in the ceremonies and the masses, and we just kind of we're walking around almost like zombies, going, "Now we're Catholics."
Well, yeah, like we're Catholics because we feel like we have to be because of tradition, because that's what our grandparents and our parents raised us to be, but we don't actually practice this faith. I couldn't tell you the last time someone in my family who all identify as Catholic went to a church. I mean, when I was a kid, we were sent to the church and we had to know who the priest was because my sister was a goody two-shoes and she'd tell me dad and he'd say, who was the priest? And we'd have to know. And we'd go in, see who it was and then run out the back and play football or something. But we'd always know, you know. Now, parents don't even send their kids to church anymore. You don't even send them.
And
like
no,
you said
no
there, nobody's
family,
joining the priesthood.
No one in your family, Eddie, goes to the church anymore?
No. And my mum would class herself as Catholic. And I had this chat with her. I said, I've never seen you pray, but you tell me you're Catholic. And not only that, Gary, they're now training lay people. There's 40 people in Clogher just over the border being trained to do funeral liturgies because there's not enough priests to go around. They're training lay people to carry out these ceremonies. The Catholic Church is on its knees. And anyone who identifies as a Catholic, if you respect your religion and you want to practice it, get up off your arse and help it. Because it's not going to be here much longer. I mean, the more minorities we bring into the country from different religions, they're bringing their faith with them, you know? And no one's going into the Catholic Church. No one's going into the seminars to become a priest. And it'll be gone from schools in 50 years. You know all these Catholic colleges you have? Who's going to replace these brothers that run these?
Well, I can say...
They're eventually just going to end up schools.
I can say anecdotally that I live in an area, obviously, like most people in Ireland, surrounded by churches, and I see the footfall. I also live near a big mosque, and I see plenty of footfall there. So there's a huge difference between how many people are going to the Catholic churches in my area and the mosque down the road for me that is constantly full and constantly getting people to come in. Stay with me, Eddie, because I want to go to Kathleen. You think that the Catholic Church in Ireland has already been done away with?
Well, I wouldn't say it's been done away with. You know, I mean, it's still taught in schools, but, you know, I don't think as many people go to church now the way they used to. You know, I'd be including me, but I have issues myself, so I don't go to Mass anymore.
And do you have faith, Kathleen? If you don't mind me asking that personal question, would you be a spiritual person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am a spiritual person, yeah. That's something I do say a little prayer in the house and, you know, things like that, yeah. And I have a picture of a lady and, you know, I believe, but I don't get a chance to go on a Sunday anymore because I have issues with my health. But I do think that the church is, people are not attending. And as the previous caller said, you know, all the things about the, you know, the abuse of kids, the schools, oh, come on. How could you expect people to go in and listen to somebody who might abuse kids? Nobody could. You know, it's a disgrace, you know.
And did you used to, Kathleen, did you used to go to Mass quite frequently?
Yeah. Every Sunday I used to go, yeah. I used to go... The Capuchin Church in Church Street. I don't know if you know it or not.
Yeah,
no,
I do.
It's a lovely church. You know, it is a lovely church, and it's not far from where I live. And I used to enjoy really going, you know. But you know, things change for me. But you know, listening to nowadays, I think it is a dying faith, isn't it? I don't think the younger people, they're not interested in going to church. You know, are they? And I mean, who's going to take over when the older generation have passed and there's nobody attending the churches, you know. I just despair. It's a shame, really, I suppose, in a way. I suppose it's a shame because it is part of, I mean, I was born in England, but I'm Irish descent. I was brought up Catholic, you know. And yeah. My parents were Irish, and, you know, so I think it's a shame. But what can you do if people, we are going to, I hope we're never in a minority, though, you know.
Well, the majority still identify, the majority still identify as Catholic in Ireland. But as Eddie was saying, there'll be no church if people don't go to it. And like the charitable work that the church remains involved in is enormous, you know, and organisations like Troker and everything, you know, they rely on the church, and the lay people now have been coming in to help in so many different ways, and it's not sustainable, is it? They need more priests, they need more people to attend, and they need more money.
Well, they do really, you know, because they don't really get, I don't know what way, if they're sponsored by the Church of Rome or what way they get, you know, how do they survive, you know? I wouldn't know about that, but I think it's part of Irish culture. I think it's been so, you know, it's very much a part of the Irish culture, I believe. You know, I've been living over here for over 20 years now, and I think it's, you know, it's a lovely thing to see the kiddies going and, you know, doing the Holy Communion and all that kind of thing, you know. And that's what you'd be kind of used to, you know, seeing, isn't it? But I think as regarding masses, you know, I think they could, you can modernise, maybe they could modernise it a bit, you know, they could bring more people that younger people might be interested in listening to, you know. I don't know.
But here's the difference, Gary, right?
Go ahead there, Eddie, yeah.
Outside my job, there's a Circle K garage, right? And taxi men congregate 24 hours a day. If I stand outside that Circle K garage, I won't go a half an hour without seeing a taxi pull up and a Muslim man getting out and putting his rug down to pray. They make the effort. Irish people don't do that. It's as simple as that. They have time for their faith. Irish people don't. You know, you see it all day, all the live long day. Wouldn't go a half an hour without seeing a taxi pull up and a guy putting his little rug out and doing his praying.
Well, that's like what I said earlier on about my area. I mean, the mosque is always busy, vibrant, always. There's always something happening there, and the churches are rarely open. They're open for funerals, weddings, christenings, things like that. But a lot of people still use the church. I mean, they will go there and they will sit. I've often done it for a bit of peace and quiet. There are amazing amenities to have in the area. And I see other people sitting in the church just thinking or lighting a candle or whatever it is. It would be a shame, you know, to see less and less of that.
But the problem is, and I don't mean to be disparaging to elder people, but it's all the Blue Rinse Brigade that are keeping the churches going. It's all older men and older women of retired age. It's not young people. They're not going. They're voting with their feet to stay away.
What do you think they could do, Eddie, to get younger people in?
The way the world is going.
What do you think they could do to get younger people in?
I think it's the lost cause. I think people are too educated these days. I mean, when you think about it, in the Middle East, thousands of years ago, there was four fellas called Matthew, Mark, Luke and John.
Do you mind me asking you, why do you always say education? I mean, what does education have to do with faith and going to church?
Because when you think about it, right? Look, I was just saying to you there, in the Middle Ages, there were supposed to be four wise men in the Middle East called Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. You're telling me they had English names then? I can't even find a Matthew in Dublin now.
Well, they weren't English names.
You know what I mean? And Jesus is supposed to be like a white dude.
They weren't
a white dude in the Middle East.
They weren't English names back then. They were Middle Eastern names.
To me, I don't want to put people's faith down, but to me, it's all science fiction, right? You can believe whatever you want. I won't criticise you for that. But to me, it's all science fiction. I mean, there's a different religion every week. It can't all be right. You know what I mean? He's got this God, he's got that God, and he's got that God. That's great. If you find comfort in that, more power to you. But Irish people don't find comfort in it anymore.
You know,
go ahead, Kathleen. Hold on, Eddie. Let Kathleen talk. Go on.
Yeah. I just want to say, you know, even if you don't go to church, if you haven't got faith, you have nothing in this world. You have to have some kind of
faith. I don't have faith, Kathleen.
I believe, you know.
None at all.
No, well, yeah. Well, that's sad.
I'm an atheist. I look after myself.
Well, you know.
When you say I have to have faith, if I don't believe in God, what should I have faith in?
Well, okay. Just say.
Sorry?
Just say for an argument's sake. Just say for argument's sake that you have addiction in your family, right? Any kind of drinking, drugs, or anything like that, right? And
okay.
We are taught, you know, if you go to a meeting or whatever, right, and this issue is in your home or in your life 24/7, to believe in a higher power, then, you know, it helps people, you know. I mean, not God or whatever, but a higher power, somebody that can...
The only power I believe in, Kathleen, is willpower. I don't believe in a higher power. The only power I believe in is willpower. I'm not trying to be funny. It's just, that's just me.
No, that's okay.
I'm a complete atheist. I've looked into it all. I don't have any beliefs. Yeah. I'm not spiritual. That's just the way I am. And to me, I don't have a faith. Yeah. To me, seeing is believing. I won't believe a story until it can be proven. It's credible. It's just the way I am.
Yeah.
I used to be Catholic when I was growing up because I was too innocent to know anything better. And the more I grew up and became an adult and start questioning things and challenging things, I just started voting with my feet and stayed away. And it seems to be like a lot of people are following the same path, you know?
Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie.
Well, I mean, I think anybody's entitled to their own opinion, aren't they? I'm just stating the fact that I'd class myself more, I am a Catholic, I don't go to mass because I have issues at home with my health. But I do believe in a higher power because it helps me to get through what's going on in my life. That's all.
Great. And like I said, I respect you. You're entitled to your opinion. And if it helps you, brilliant. Who am I to criticise you?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it doesn't.
You're going to say something there, Gary?
Okay. And I didn't mean to preach at you. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. We're having a whole debate. We're not shouting at each other.
This is your opinion. This is actually what I wanted to ask you, Eddie. And it was nice to hear that exchange between the two of you because you're an atheist. You don't believe at all. And I wanted to ask you, people who do believe, do you think that we need more of that in society, or do you think we'd all be better off being atheists? Are you respectful of people that do believe?
100%. Like Kathleen there. 100%. You can believe what you want. Because if you find comfort in something, who am I to criticise you? You know what I mean? If you go to church and you find comfort in lighting a candle and saying a prayer and having a bit of quiet time, who am I to criticise you? But what I am criticising is people that say they're Catholics. And they're about as Christian as I am.
Yeah.
But they'll identify as Catholic, but they don't do anything to preach, to practice their faith.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
that's what I find hypocritical.
There's a fair bit of that in society, for sure. There's people who sort of speak out of both sides of their mouth. They're there every Sunday for Mass, and they think they're good
but
not in reality.
But I know people that they look forward to Christmas. They're only looking forward to Christmas because they get a few presents and a week off work. No religious aspect comes into it at all. You wouldn't even say grace before they had the Christmas dinner. You know? The whole religious part of Christmas, Christ, Mass, the clue is in the name. The last thing people worry about now is the religious part of Christmas. They look forward to go out and have a few drinks with their friends, probably a week off Christmas holidays, and the kids are looking forward to a few presents. And the religious aspect is gone. It'd be interesting to actually know the numbers that actually attend on Christmas morning compared to a normal morning. You know?
I think the midnight Mass and Christmas Eve is probably the most popular Mass of the year for most churches. I mean, I don't have the actual numbers on that, but I just know that anecdotally.
Wasn't there a priest last year who called it out and criticised people, saying, "You're all here on on midnight mass where he is the rest of the year.
I think you're right.
And he got and he caused controversy over it.
Yeah, last couple of years.
Yeah, he called and they all sat there. And none of them knew what to say because he was right.
Mm.
You know, you come once a year. Where is the rest of the time? You know, the church is on its knees. We need our disciples. But
do you think
bother coming.
Do you think they're hypocrites, Eddie? People who go to the mass
Of course you are.
Right.
Well, look, if you follow the Catholic faith, right, you're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain. You're not supposed to have sex before marriage, wedlock, all of this. So you either follow it or you don't. You can't just be like a once-a-year Catholic.
A la carte Catholic.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
There's certain rules. Exactly.
Stay with me, Eddie. I'm going to go to John. Now, John, you're very welcome to the show. It's a new country now, you think, with many different Irish, like American, England. Religion is history.
Yeah. Well, I'm in my 60s now, and I'm up to, I suppose, the late 90s. We've had a lot of Europeans, Africans, they've all come in, and their kids have grown up. I worked in a secondary school where the children, I remember one evening going to a classroom and there was girls in there talking. I thought they were, you know, from Galway or whatever, but they were actually, they were black children, but they were Irish. You know, Ireland has changed. Our country has changed totally in the last 25 years. And we've got to accept that it's kind of like America or England. We've got all different religions and different beliefs in it. But some people we're stuck in our ways. We still want to be, we still think of the past, but things are just changing.
Well, there's no doubt, John. There's no doubt that things are changing. But the question is about the Catholic religion. As Eddie made the point at the top of the hour, that the census over the years has changed so much that I think we've knocked about 30% off the 95% back in the 60s. Now we're roughly around 70% that identify as Catholic in this country. And do you think the Catholic Church is losing its grip? Like, not grip, it's the wrong choice of words. Do you think the influence of the Catholic Church is rapidly leaving the country?
Oh, it's been disastrous, yeah. There's no talk. When I was a young man or a young, the Catholic Church had all the power. You know, your priests and were always, when they visited the house, and yeah, it's totally, it's gone. Like, they just don't seem to have, they just lost, it's not.
A lot of people come to the country, like you said, John, all our citizens that are immigrants and with different religious backgrounds. Eddie, you said that you see Muslims praying out in the open, that the different religions, as opposed to the Catholic religions, they love their religion. They celebrate it openly, Eddie, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, completely. And I work with a couple of Muslim lads, salt of the earth, but they respect their religion and they follow it and they follow the rules of it. So, you know, and like that chap said, it's not about criticizing immigrants because we're a multicultural society.
Yeah.
But the more people we bring in from different faiths, when they have kids, like John says, they'll sound as Irish as you and me, but the parents are raising them as Muslim because that's what they are. So then the percentage is going to drop even more.
Mm.
Like in 1972, there was a change to our amendment to say we're a secular society because the Catholic Church ruled the country, education, laws, even state business. You don't have that grip anymore. When I was a kid, and Gary, you were probably the same, you'd probably fear the priest more than the copper.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the way it was.
Oh, yeah.
They ruled with an iron thumb. It's not like that now. I actually couldn't tell you the last time, well, obviously I don't go to church, but last time I even seen a priest walking down the road with a collar on.
You stood up straight when a priest was walking towards you, for sure, you know, and you showed the respect, hello, Father. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just don't see many priests anymore. You know, that's the thing. Out and about, when I'm walking around my area, I can't remember the last time I saw a priest in a shop or in the shopping centre or anything like that. Like, it really has changed so much over the last few years. And we were talking earlier on about the decline in ordinations, and it's hard to know where it's going to go from here. But I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and I want you to stay with me, Eddie, because we're going to keep talking about this. Are we losing our religion in this country? Get in touch with the programme on 087-188-0008 and let us know your thoughts. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Niall Boylan this week. Get in touch with the programme on 087-188-0008 and let us know the answer to this question. Is Ireland losing its religion? Before the break, I was chatting to Eddie there. Eddie, you're still with me, aren't you?
I am indeed, yeah.
Eddie, do you mind me asking you a question, a personal question? I'm not sure how to ask it to you. Are you married with kids?
No.
No.
If you but had, I always said...
If you had kids someday...
No.
And,
this is, yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Okay. Well, for the benefit of the listeners, I'm going to say if you got married and had kids and your kids decided they wanted to become Catholic and go to church, and indeed if your wife decided that she wanted to be a Catholic, how would you square that one being an atheist?
Well, if they grew up and they turn 18, they're adults and I don't have a control over what choice they make. I have my own opinion, but out of respect their beliefs.
What if they came to you as young children and they asked
if they, like I said, if they came to me as young children, I'd try and say, wait till you're 18, till you're an adult, and you'll have a more grasp of what you're talking about. Mm. You'd be older, your brain will be a bit more developed, and you'll learn a lot more about the world, you know?
And could you
I thought you were going to ask me.
Go on, yeah.
I thought you were going to ask me if I was in a relationship and then my partner said, right, we want to have a kid and I want to christen, etc.
That was my second question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I had a child, I would have that conversation. You know? Gary, I was going out with a girl years ago, right? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Listen, go on.
Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, my phone beeped there. I was going out with a girl years ago when I lived in England. And she says, when we get engaged, this was after about 9 months going out with her. And I said, whoa, hold your horses there. Because we'd never had this conversation. I said, what do you mean when we get engaged? And she goes, you know, when we get married. And I said, okay, it's time to have this conversation, Alec. I said, I'll never marry you. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I love you to bits. Love you to bits. I'd spend the rest of my life with you. I'd be happy. But I don't need to put a label on it because there's not a religious bone in my body. We split up right over that. She's been married twice since. Single now.
Twice.
It's funny how things work out, isn't it?
Could you not have gotten hitched in a registry office?
I don't know because I don't believe in marriage at all. Why do I need to put a label on something? If I love someone, my feelings should be enough. I don't need to put a label on it. And I actually had this argument years ago with my brother who's passed away. He got married and he's religious. And I said to him, if you're married for 5 years and I'm with my partner for 10 years, whose relationship is better? And he went, mine, because I'm married. And I went, so you're telling me I can't live my partner as much as yours because I haven't got a religious seal on it? And he went, yeah. I said, that's absolutely ridiculous. I said, because love comes from inside you, not what religion you follow. You know?
Hmm.
So you're telling me I can't love my partner as much as you love yours because I don't have a wedding band on my finger?
Hmm.
So that's crazy. You know? And that's my thoughts on it. I don't need to put a label on it. Love is love.
I'm sorry for your loss, Eddie, about your brother. Would you stay with me? Because I want to go to Margaret. Now, Margaret, you called in and you want to talk to us tonight. You say you have a lot of faith.
I have, yeah. Yeah.
And is it important to you, Margaret?
You see, very important, yeah. Very, very important to me in my life. Yeah, every day. I pray in the morning. I say my morning prayers. I pray during the day. I'm cleaning my home, I always say a prayer, and I always say my night prayers, and I ask God to forgive me for maybe anything I've done during the day or anything I've done in the past. Forgive me that I'm truly sorry. And you know, Gary, I was 32 years of age. I was saying to the girl there, Molly, I think, and I had a mild heart attack at 32. And I had a 2-year-old, I had a 6-year-old, and I had an 8-year-old child. And on the 17th of June, I collapsed at work. And God, I was working in a hospital. And I was put on the bed, and they were pumping on my chest, and they were, get the doctor here quick, we're losing her. And I went up onto the ceiling, and I could see exactly what they were doing. I could see my brothers and sisters coming in different doors, and they were told to stay outside the curtain, that they were working on me. I heard, I fully convinced it was my mother, saying to God, please let her go back. She has 3 small children. Please let her go back. And I came back down into my body. I felt myself going back into my body. And I kind of came around, and the doctor was putting the drip in down around my wrist and putting in an injection into me and putting a drip up. And I just kind of opened my eyes, and the only words I remember saying to her was, please don't let me die. And I went into Beaumont, and I got ECGs done, and I said to Seamus O'Neill in Beaumont, he was the doctor looking after me at the time, absolute gentleman as well. And I said, don't let me die. And I was in intensive care then for 72 hours, and then I was put into the next ward down from intensive care, as they say. And I was out of work for 4 months. And I was in heaven, you know. And now I saw no light, but everything was snow white. And it was the most peaceful experience I've ever, ever had in my life.
So what you're telling me, Margaret, is you had a near-death experience.
Yeah.
And you're entirely sure.
Yeah, there is a heaven. There is another place that we all go to, regardless of whether you have a religion or not. And I know many people, like the other chap there on the line, who says they're an atheist.
Yeah.
But I have cared for people who were atheist people. And believe it or believe it not, when they're dying, they say, God, thank you for my life. They always go back to God. Doesn't matter what religion you are in this world, let it be a Catholic, a Protestant, a Jew, a Muslim, or any other religion or non-belief, we all go back to thanking God for our lives.
Margaret, Margaret, you know, before this happened to you, you say you were 32. And I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, did you have faith before it happened, or was it something that came to you afterwards?
Oh, I did. No, I always had my faith. And I go to Mass once a week, and I visit my 2 sisters that have passed away in one graveyard, and then I go to my mother and father in another graveyard, you know? And I go twice a week. I go to Mass once a week, but I pray every day, and I ask God to help to stop the fighting in Gaza and stop the fighting in Ukraine, and to ask the people. I'm talking to God when I'm doing this now. For people that are listening and say, that's a fruit and nut, it's on the line. But for me, people talk as if they're having a conversation with a person. And saying, please, God, I know there's a lot of wrongdoing going on, which you didn't expect. But please, please help these people that are heads of governments to come together and beg the like of Putin, who's doing wrong and who is an evil person, to change his ways and to let people live and let little children live. And for people in other countries that are suffering, that other countries that have a lot of wealth here to spread
to help. But Margaret, I have to ask you, Margaret, when this happened to you when you were younger, mm-hmm. and you had this near-death experience and you woke up and thank God you got through it and you were well afterwards, it must have changed. It must have changed that faith you say you had before you before it happened to you. It must have transformed it and you must have been a different woman.
I remember talking to a priest about it. And I spoke to a priest about it, and I said, did I dream it? Did I imagine it, you know, when I had the mild heart attack? And he said, I'm not saying, Margaret, I can't explain it, but from what you're saying is from other experiences that he has spoken and other people have spoken to him about, is that you have been up in heaven. But you're convinced it was your mother who was asking God to let you go back to your children, to rear your children. So you're sent back for a reason. You've been given another chance in life to rear your children. And thank God now my baby is 37 and I have a 41-year-old and I have a 43-year-old and they're all married. And, you know, they were all married in the church, Catholics, and their children are Catholics.
And would they be practicing Catholics, Margaret?
Know, wherever people decide.
Margaret.
They would, yeah, they go to Mass. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And now I do say to my two boys and to my daughter, you know, whatever you decide to do in your life with your children, but I know I've done my best. And whatever you decide to do with your children, because they're your children, I said, I can stand over and say, thank God that I read my children right. They never done a thing wrong in their lives. They're very, you know, they're very, very good jobs. And, you know, I thank God for that.
And Margaret, you say you've had your faith your whole life.
At the end of the day.
Margaret, you say you've had your faith.
All my life. Yeah,
your whole life.
All my life.
So you go to Mass. Yeah, you've been going to Mass your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And have you noticed?
From a young girl.
Have you noticed over the last 20 odd years a decline in the amount of people that are in there with you?
There is, Gary. You see, the thing is, and what the other gentleman said, he was talking about the priests and the scandals, and you know, and you talk about the nuns, and you talk about the teachers who bet the living crap out of people.
Mm.
You know, not everybody was like that. You cannot tar and feather everybody with the same brush. You know, there are individuals who did do that. And that's without a shadow of a doubt that there were priests who done those things. There were nuns. There were, you know, teachers who bet the living crap out of students. And seem to enjoy it, you know.
And do you think? Oh, do you think that
everybody was like that?
Do you think that scandal was the turning point
like
in Ireland?
As I say to people, the devil was in these people, you know. And that's the way I look at it, you know.
And do you think, Margaret,
definitely did do an awful lot of damage? Yeah,
Margaret, do you think that was the turning point?
Did do damage,
Margaret? Can you hear me? Do you think that was the turning point for people in Ireland? There was no coming back from that for most people.
Well, you see, an awful lot of people were shocked. And people couldn't believe because we all, you know, kind of bowed to the priest. We all so bowed to the nun. We all so bowed to the teacher, the guards, etc., etc. People of the high moral standard, you know.
Mm.
The same with the judge, the bishop. And etc. etc. You know, and you know, there's always bad apples in all classes of society, always. But you cannot tar and feather everybody with the same brush. There are good people out there who are really good people. Like you take the Lindsay thing. What's the girl's name? Lindsay, whatever her name was, in the UK, who killed those little children. She was a nurse, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Does that mean all nurses are murderers? No, they're not. you know. And there are very, very good nurses and very good doctors and, you know, surgeons, etc., etc. You can go up to Drogheda, where their doctor took out wombs belonging to women, and no need for them to be taken out at all. You know, you could go on with certain things that has happened over the last number of years in this country that were completely wrong. Mm. And I'm not standing over priests who did abuse, or teachers that did abuse,
yeah,
or nuns who bet the living crap out of students as well, or any other profession who did wrong things in their life. But you cannot turn around and say, you know,
they're all the same.
They're all like that,
yeah,
because they're not.
I hear you, Margaret. Stay with me. I'm going to go to Ian. Now, Ian, you're a self-confessed atheist as well. And what do you think? Are we losing our religion? Ian, are you there?
Well,
there you are.
We are losing our religion. Yes, can you hear me? Yeah, we are losing our religion. And I can only see that as a good thing. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with faith. I think having faith and having religion are very different things.
Yeah, I asked that question earlier on. Why do you think they're two different things, faith and religion?
Because religion expects you to follow certain decorums, certain values, certain strict modules. And you can, in some religions, even now, you can be excommunicated for not following those values. But with faith, you can just have a belief in that system that it will help you as a person, help you grow, help you maintain yourself as a person. Some people, as you said, they kind of put their faith in working out, in being able to go through their thought processes by working out, some by going for a drive, some by taking long hot showers, and just using whatever system, whatever way or system they can, that they can get the beliefs under control
and
in their head. And
Ian, can I ask you, why are you an atheist?
Yeah.
Have you always been an atheist? And if not, why did you become an atheist?
I was always an atheist. Now, as a child, I didn't really have a choice. We were Catholic parents, although my parents didn't practice whatsoever. They didn't go to church on a Sundays. We did the traditional ceremonial type thing, like confirmations and communions and stuff like that. And I see we've had family weddings done in front of churches and priests. And it's just not something that me personally felt that the family believed in, but that it was just the model design around those things. So how else would you do, like, almost a from a perspective, how else would you do these things?
So you had to get your confirmation,
but
you had
otherwise
to have your communion, you had to do the things.
Yeah, you had.
Yeah,
exactly. And then that spreads on to later on in life, as I said, to things like weddings, like, well, what's the option, what's the alternative? And I don't think a lot of people are willing to explore what those other options may be.
And is there anyone in your family, Ian, that have faith or are religious?
That I can immediately think of, no, not at all. Mm. None that bless themselves with holy water that they might have at the front door. None that might pray when something is going wrong. No, not really any at all. Now, there are people in my family who might not pray to a particular God when they need help or assistance, but just pray to whatever greater or higher power they might believe is out there.
Mm.
Or just asking the universe, the collective universe, all the people in the world that might be able to help to do so, almost in a form of praying. I understand that might sound a bit contradictory.
No, no, I get you. And a lot of people have those ways of doing things. I'm going to go to Joe. Joe, you called in to say that the church is falling apart in certain ways. Is that right?
Yes, I would totally agree. Yeah. Good evening, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Joe. You're very welcome to the show.
Because I think, yeah, and thanks again. You're doing a good job as well. Fair play. I also think that they are falling apart in certain ways. I think, number one, they're kind of going along with the government narrative, you know, when it comes to certain issues like immigration and all that kind of thing. And I've noticed, too, that there was one particular priest who, I'm not going to mention his name now because there's really no need, like, but he made a kind of a weird sermon recently at a mass I was at here in Cork. He said that Ireland should be, there should be more immigrants in the country than anyone else put together. And I was saying to myself, that's a kind of a weird statement, because does he want to destroy our economy? Is he going to pay for all their accommodation? But you see, there's this narrative with the Catholic Church over the years. And, you know, I am old school, you know, I do believe that, you know, I am a Catholic. I believe in certain, you know, certain forms, you know, the sanctity of marriage and all that stuff, and, you know, that kind of thing. But I think in the last couple of years, the Catholic Church have been kind of playing to a different gallery. I think they're kind of trying to please everybody. And as you know, Gary, my apologies.
Here, Grant,
you can't go down that road. You can't go down that road and please everybody, because if you start going down that road, you're really cutting your own nose off. You know, like in 2018, as you remember, during the abortion referendum, a lot of these so-called priests and bishops were denouncing the politicians. They were even refusing them into the church. And during the COVID years, of course, they were all praising them, like, you know, supporting the lockdowns and saying that there should have been even more harder lockdowns. Even I remember here in Cork, the bishop here in Cork, who's a Dublin bishop, he actually threatened people inside the church during the lockdowns, the early lockdowns back in 2020, that if they weren't vaccinated, they wouldn't be getting Holy Communion. And I wrote to the bishop at the time, and I actually had a very stern words to say to about it. Now, I got no reply back, because I wasn't expecting a reply back, because, again, you know, they were playing to that kind of gallery, you know. Like, these are the people that are supposed to protect the faith. They're supposed to... They're not supposed to get involved in politics. They're supposed to look after their own affairs, you know.
I hear you, Joe, and I want to ask you...
Over the years... Like,
Joe,
over,
I hear you. I want to ask you, though, I mean, you mentioned the priest up in the pulpit... saying, you know, that there should be more immigrants, and you talk about the bishops refusing, or the priests refusing communion. There was a time in Ireland where what they said really went a long way. It doesn't so much anymore at all, does it? It sort of doesn't matter what they say in church. I mean, as you said, you were sitting in the congregation and it went right over your head.
Well, it did, because I take things very personal, to see. And, you know, if I think something is wrong, I will correct it. And I think that's what's wrong with people. I think a lot of people don't correct things. They don't question the motives of what they say. Now, there are good priests out there who do great work in the community. But, of course, you know, you do have the bad actors who have destroyed the Catholic Church over the decades. Now, they weren't really priests. They were just fucking scumbags, if you don't mind me saying. They were rubbish. Like, they didn't give two fiddlers about their faith. They were just interested in trying to make a name for themselves. And, you know, that rubbed off a lot of the media over the years. And I think, as we're in a situation now, and as they said earlier on, we have a lot of different things now at the moment where you have different religions. But, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if you saw there, it was during the lockdowns there back in 2020, there was a video of a church up in... I think it was in Galway or up in the west of Ireland or somewhere, where you had a Muslim imam performing the call to prayers during the lockdowns, and there was a lot of people very angry at the time about it because the churches were supposed to remain closed at the time, which I didn't agree with either at that time, because I think the church should have been open because, you know, if people were able to go into a supermarket and buy messages and be around a load of people, they could easily do the same in the church, because at the time, if they were worried about it, there was plenty of people to supervise all that, like, you know. But I think they kind of, you know, they play to both sides of the fiddle, really. That's the way I look at it, like, you know. They try to please everybody. They try to be nice to everybody. But they also kind of do it, I think, for their own agenda, you know. And that's why I worry that in about 5 or 6 years' time, when a lot of the elderly people have passed on, that you won't, there'll be a lot of churches will close in this country, or else they'll be open, but they'll only be open on a Sunday, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I hear you, Joan, and it's a great point to leave this. You made a good point, and that's what they're worried about. You know, what's it going to look like in 10, 20 years? But that's a good point to leave it on, Joe. Thanks a million for calling in as well. Thanks to Ian and Margaret and everybody who called in on that topic. Are we losing our religion?
Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.